Bibles to Acts chapter 10, please. Acts chapter 10. We want to look at the scriptures for about 15 minutes or so, and then we're going to see some slides from Myanmar. But as I was in Myanmar, I became very impressed with the basics of the scriptures in the sense that they are so necessary in establishing a Christian, in forming for them a basis by which they then walk with their Savior, by which they serve their Savior and others, and by which they are not shaken from. And so when I say the basics, I'm referring to the fundamentals of the faith. And in Myanmar, we went over biblical distinctions, which is a class that's taught here at the Duluth Bible Church on 9:30 service, and it is a very valuable one. Pastor Oxer started it, Tom Gustafson and Rob Grover taught it a couple years in a row and elaborated, got the notes all set up, and I was privileged to use it in Myanmar. What you have in front of you as far as a handout is one of the shortened versions of what the men received. For we gave them an entire booklet. Actually, it was two of them in Burmese. There were so many pages, but the English was just one booklet of biblical distinctions, because you must rightly divide the Word of God. And in there we see forgiveness both positionally before God to enter the family of God, and then practically with a relational family parental forgiveness, which is a daily forgiveness for when we violate God's righteousness in our walk. And that brings us back into fellowship with Him. So forgiveness of sins was very, refreshing to me, renewing to me, and appreciated it all the more. And I'd like to start out with going over forgiveness of sins, which is preached to the whole world so that they can enter the family of God. And in Acts chapter 10, we see in verse 30, Acts 10, verse 43. What did I say? 13? I hear people turning. Acts 10. We'll start in verse 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people. Now this is Peter in his sermon to Cornelius and his family. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And remission of sins and forgiveness of sins are used synonymously in the scriptures. They mean the same thing. And the forgiveness of sins is a release from the guilt, the imprisonment or bondage. It is a release or a pardon of sins as if they have never been committed. Remission of the penalty associated with those sins. So we see here in this passage that positional forgiveness is offered to all sinners. Positional forgiveness is offered to all sinners, for it is to be preached to the whole world. Verse 43 again. To him, the Lord Jesus, all the prophets witness from the Old Testament that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So this forgiveness of sins is offered to whoever believes in him, whoever places their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are forgiven. It's to send away or give up or no longer keep a record, debt, penalty, or violation of that offense or that sin. That's what forgiveness means, to write it away, to toss it in the depths of the sea, to separate that violator from the violation. God forgives us positionally in Jesus Christ. So that positional forgiveness is associated with entering the family of God. Positional forgiveness is associated with entering the family of God. Turn a couple pages over to your right in Acts chapter 13. And we have Paul preaching this time. Paul is preaching here, and he comes to the end of his message. And he gives a therefore, verse 38. He gives an appeal, and he gives a punchline. He says, therefore, I want to conclude. Let it be known to you, brethren. He was speaking to some Jews. Brethren meaning those of the Jewish birth. That through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Where is forgiveness found? Through a person. This man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, the release from your guilt, the release from your bondage, the pardon of your violations before a holy, righteous God. And as if they had never been committed, you are washed white as snow or cleansed from all that unrighteousness. This is what he says at the end of verse 39. Is justified from all things. He is or she is declared righteous. That's what justified means. From all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I'll show you some pictures later on tonight. But of sitting in my hotel room, and I sat there many hours during this last trip to Myanmar. And as I was preparing for forgiveness of sins, studying and teaching, I started to reflect on my audience. Being from an animist, mountain people, or the plains people, the Buddhists, neither of them know the forgiveness of sins. For in the mountains, the animists fear the spirits constantly. The ancestral relatives that will come back and haunt them, bring disease and death and hardship to them if they don't appease those ancestral gnats, they call them, which are demons and spirits. So they would offer up chickens. They would offer up food offerings. They would have altars. They would have feasts and drunken feasts in the mountains, the animists. In the plains, the Buddhists do not know the remission of sins. No, they meditate and they try and pull themselves away from the world and the things of the sufferings of this world through meditation, through lack of personal desires, and so constantly withdrawing. So a meditation in an Eastern mind is empty your mind. Meditation in the scriptures is fill your mind. And so my audience, I thought, as they were either Buddhists, saved out of Buddhist background, or they were saved out of animist background, these men that would be teaching and the audience around us here in this country cannot experience the forgiveness of sins. They could not enter the family of God without the Lord Jesus Christ. No religion, no man-made system can offer remission of sins. And so we see in God's faithfulness, that forgiveness or the remission of sins is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we think of the cross, we think of the work of Jesus Christ and that he died for our sins once and for all, past, present, and future. He took care of all of our sins. So that's why he can offer to whoever believes in our last passage or here, everyone who believes. In other words, places their faith alone in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The God-man who came down to earth, died on a cross, paid our penalty, was buried and raised again, and now offers freely whoever believes in him. And the moment they believe, as the diagram shows here, they enter the family of God. And when you're in the family of God, positionally, you have been forgiven of your sins, past, present, and future. Look at Acts 26 with me. And Paul is giving a testimonial in Acts 26. In Acts 26, he is declaring before Agrippa what has happened to him and why he went from a persecuting, Christian-hating Jew to now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, in the end of his message here, he explains how Jesus Christ spoke to him. So we'll start in verse 14 and we'll read down through 18. And he says in verse 14, and when we all had fallen fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. What a glorious ministry. Jesus Christ calling him personally and saying, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, and this is what I want you to preach. I want you to preach me, and I will deliver them from darkness, from Satan, and I will give them light and forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified. How? By faith in me. My friends, fellow believers, do not take for granted your great salvation and all that you have received in the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Not, as even Warren alluded to, are we ever in any way, shape, or form worthy of forgiveness of sins. We absolutely deserve condemnation. But the moment we receive him, we receive remission of sins and enter the family of God. Verse 18 says, that they may receive. Not everyone who is preached will receive forgiveness of sins, because many will reject. But those who are sanctified by faith in me. The moment an individual trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they receive positional forgiveness of sins. Thousands upon thousands of our violations before a holy, righteous God are instantly forgiven. Of which Jason appealed, we should pray that Eric would receive Christ and the remission of sins. Everything God has for us is funneled through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior that he died for me. From condemnation to be set free. All by God's grace, he funnels this forgiveness of sins through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was to go and preach forgiveness of sins. Now, if you would, look with me at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Now, there's a number of passages in the New Testament, and this is a devotional tonight, so we don't have time to check out them all. But I did decide tonight to give you plenty of notes so that you can read these on your own, have a little devotion tomorrow morning, tonight when you go to bed or whenever, so that you can review this and reflect on all that God has given us in our great Savior, Jesus Christ. He says in chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, Colossians 2, 13 and 14, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I circled that in my Bible. Not one, not two, not many, but all trespasses. All violations he has forgiven us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, in a court, they hand a paper. These are the violations that this accused has performed before the judge. The evidence is presented. Guilty. With God, he says, all of those are wiped away. Imagine. Thrown away. The violations. Why? Paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. Nailed to him. And taken them out of the way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Look with me at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now this good news of Jesus Christ, we find throughout the New Testament scriptures. We find it throughout the Old Testament scriptures. that God wipes away our offenses, our violations, our sins. And Jesus Christ, just before he ascended into heaven, gave his disciples a commission, instructions, orders, commands. And we find throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the end of the books, and the beginning of Acts, the Great Commission, as it is called, the instructions to go. And he says here at the end of Luke, chapter 24, verse 44 and following, he says this. This is just before he ascends. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. That's what a preacher's job is. Give understanding, comprehension. Verse 46, then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Why? "That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations." Go into all the world. Preached in all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. So the Lord Jesus Christ gave and explained the gospel to them and gave them understanding, and then he says repentance, which is change of mind. The Jews rejected Jesus Christ. They needed their thinking changed. Metanoia, repentance, change of mind. And remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's why we see these scriptures and we see that this command continues on to go and to get this message to El Salvador, to Myanmar, to Germany, to Peru, to Kazakhstan, to Duluth, West Duluth, and to even the metropolis of Iverson, to get the gospel to the lost and to the villages and to the mountains. And remission of sins is core. It's core to the message of the gospel. It's the cancellation of the debt. It's the pardon of our crimes before the holy, righteous God of the universe. And then we have once and for all forgiveness of sins. We're accepted in the family of God. We are in the beloved. As this illustration says, shows that our sins have been forgiven and they've been placed at the depths of the sea, never to be retrieved. Micah 7:19, "Thou shalt cast," or "wilt cast," "all their sins into the depths of the sea," and Hebrews 10:17, "and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." Is that not good news? Should that not be preached? That's why the men at county jail, that's why the men at NERC, who are listening at least, say, "I can't believe it. You mean right now I can know I'm saved?" Yes, even though they may have human crimes and great violations against them. In the courts of heaven, they can receive forgiveness, pardon, remission of their sins. And then, as a believer in Christ, we can then have fellowship with our God on an ongoing basis because he's willing to forgive our violations once we're in the family of God. You see, now that we're in the family of God, that does not mean we don't sin. I'll use the illustration of your children. They were born into your family. Do they disobey you? Amen. Do they not do what you ask and avoid it and violate? Yes, just like we do before our holy, righteous Father in heaven. And in order to have fellowship with God, we need to walk in agreement with him. And we have, we will and do sin. Therefore, we need, as God's children, parental or family forgiveness on an ongoing basis. This parental forgiveness is necessary for fellowship with God. We need this ongoing forgiveness to maintain fellowship with God. Turn to Psalm 32 with me, please. Psalm 32, 5. Now, do not take this lightly. Don't sit in your seat tonight and drift off in your mind and think, "Oh, I've heard this 100 times. My friend, this is precious truth. This you want to renew in your soul, for the holy, righteous God of the universe cannot walk with you, or you walk with him, apart from a cleansing, an ongoing cleansing, because we pick up defilement regularly in our mind, words, and actions. And in Psalm 32, we have David contemplating. He's speaking about some things. He has transgressed. He's disobeyed. And as you see the title, if you have a Scofield, The Blessedness of Forgiveness. And I'd like to read just verses 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. In other words, conviction. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. Selah. Verse 5. At this point now, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Same thing in the Old Testament. David had violated God's righteousness, and in seeking to walk with him, he had pressure on his soul. He was under conviction of his violations. Though he reflected in verse 1 of the great forgiveness he has before God, he needed a parental fellowship forgiveness. And he does just what we need to do in the New Testament. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you. You can put right in your margin there, confession. That's what he says. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And what did he do? He forgave the iniquity of my sin. God never has to admit to us that he moved, violated, transgressed us. No, he is perfect, holy, righteous, sinless. He waits for us to admit our sin, to come clean. In all relationships, we must do that. In my marriage, I must do that, and my wife must do that at different times. With my children, I have had to appeal to them. Now, are you just going to take this, or are you going to admit you're wrong? Because confession is for restoring relationship. Because we violate, maybe at work, a co-worker, maybe in this church, maybe a brother or sister or friend. But we need to admit it. And so when we sin before God in that relationship, we're outside of fellowship. See, when you're saved, you're in fellowship. When you're walking by faith, dependent upon him, yielded to his will, you're in fellowship. But the moment we lust, the moment we covet, the moment we're proud, or maybe it comes out of our mouth in swearing or violations or something, or anger and cursing, we sin and we're out of fellowship. Well, it's easy to know when you murder someone, oh yeah, that was wrong. But it's those little ones in our hearts that we need to be conscientious of and judge ourselves quickly. Like the 1 Corinthians 11 stated, judge ourselves that we be not judged. And simply, just what David did here, and what we see in 1 John 1:9, confess, admit. You don't have to ask forgiveness. You don't have to cry. You don't have to plead. If you confess right here, just like in 1 John 1:9, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Immediate forgiveness comes with confession. And 1 John 1:9 says he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Please take that by faith. Don't wait for your emotions to turn. I am forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Now start walking by faith. Now yield yourself over to him. Because you immediately go from out of fellowship to in fellowship when you trust or when you admit your sin before him. He does the work. This is a promise from God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1:9. And then we have all of God's resources. We have him. We have his word. We have his grace. We have all of the riches in order to live now a walk of faith before him. One of the things on this list here, let me see if I can get this right. Yeah, right here. Daily forgiveness or cleansing of our sins. That is an inexhaustible grace resource you can apply every day. The moment we sin and are convicted of it, we confess that. Immediately, when you can't confess something that you are not aware of. So when you're aware of it, you want a quick confess it quickly. Don't be stubborn. Don't wait. Admit it before God. He already knows it. He's waiting for you. And then we can be cleansed of all unrighteousness. So then you want to walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to yield over to His will, and you enjoy that. As I sat and contemplated this and taught it in Myanmar, it was such a fresh appreciation. Without 1 John 1:9 or Psalm 32:5, there is no fellowship with God. That means I'm saved, but I have to live a life apart from God. What misery! No peace. What lack of joy! What agony of existence, like the rest of this world. But the moment I confess, He cleanses me from all unrighteousness. It is the peacefulness that comes after a spouse or a pair of spouses, the husband and wife, have been arguing and they reconcile. It's finally peaceful in that relationship. Or with friends or relatives. There's now this peace. And so we can have an ongoing fellowship with our God. And that then should be an overflow, this forgiveness that we've learned with God to others. Look with me again at Colossians chapter 3. You may see in your notes there, Ephesians 4:32 states that we should be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. It's a done deal with Jesus Christ. We have been forgiven before God because of Him. Now let's practice it with others. And in Colossians chapter 3, it is a parallel passage to Ephesians. And it amplifies and illustrates the exact same eternal biblical principle. Forgiveness from God should result with forgiveness to one another. Verse 12 and following. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now what is that? That's your position. That's your family status. You're the elect of God. You're holy. You're beloved. You're in the beloved. Put on, in your thinking and practice, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, okay, show of hands, does any of you have a complaint against another? Yes, we do. It comes up regularly. We have complaints. We have despisings or violations towards us. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, there's the perfect example, past, present, and future, by grace He forgave you, you also must do. God wants forgiveness to be in this local church, to be in all of your relationships, so that you don't hold bitterness, so you don't carry resentment, so you don't have this anger and this ongoing in your mind, I'm holding you to that violation, that crime, what you said to me, what you did to me. How dare you? No way. I'm not forgiving you. We carry those, don't we? We carry those. We harbor them. We hide them just under the shirt pocket, you know, pull them out. You did that to me. God says, wipe it away, forgive it like I did, place it in the bottom of the sea because of Christ towards us. Yes, brother, I can forgive all right, but I can't forget. Now, I don't think we always forget everything that someone does to us. Violations, but in the sense of wiping it away, it's no longer a crime or a violation that we hold against them. Now, if someone was very heavily violated, I doubt that they would again entrust themselves to that person, but they have forgiven them, not harboring the crime in their mind. True forgiveness means bearing the hatchet, putting it away. And he says, verse 14, Colossians 3, Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Do you know that love reflects itself in forgiveness? If you love someone, you will forgive them. True agape love, because that's God's type of love. That's God's loving unconditionally. And forgiveness is unconditional. But because of all the forgiveness you have received, you don't have to harbor in your mind a list of violations and crimes of every person that has done. I've heard stories of people that they will
20 years they fight over because you got more in the inheritance than I did.
I've heard those stories.
Years and years they hold those bitterness and their grudges. And sometimes they're believers.
That should not happen. Christ forgave you 100% all sins. You and I must forgive others. This is one of the essentials of Christian love. It is a great doctrine of the faith. Forgiveness of sins, remission of sins. It was Paul's commission to the Gentiles. It's our commission to every nation. Forgiveness of sins. Do you know what guilt people carry? What burdens they carry for what they have done? And thinking, oh, what penalty I'm going to pay. Maybe now in my life or when I face my Maker. And yet Christ has wiped it all away. And when we practice it, relationships can go on through sinful human beings like you and I. Because God has designed forgiveness across the board in this church, in our families, and in our relationships, which we practice. Let's bow and have a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and your truth. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you for the principle, the axiomatic truth in your word that says we are forgiven or remitted of all of our sins the moment we believe in Christ. If there's anyone here tonight, Father, I pray that they would trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and receive the remission of sins. For those of us who have trusted Him, Father, may we practice it. May we renew our mind and refresh our thinking that we have been forgiven and we should forgive others. Wipe that violation off our record. Thank you. We praise you. We ask that you would just direct even with the unity in our homes, in our church, and in our relationships, and that we could even initiate forgiveness of sins, the love of Christ compelling us. In His name I pray.